Now, for our next segment, we are going back, way back. Recognize The Cure?
I do recognize The Cure.
Back to your high school computer class now, if you're of a certain age. It's the 1980s, Walkmans in backpacks and satin jackets and lockers, Apple IIe computers running BASIC. And where is this nostalgic wonderland, you ask? That's reporter Kurt Schlosser of GeekWire here to share. Hey, Kurt.
Hi, Bill.
Where'd you find this time machine?
This time machine is right here in Seattle. It's in SoDo. At Paul Allen's Ode to the Living Computers Museum and Labs.
People might not know Paul Allen has this computers from back in the day museum.
Yeah, this is a fun interactive space, and this exhibit is the latest sort of thing to drive people down there. I went down and I was transported back to my childhood.
What was take us inside? So what, you come in and what's the first scene you see?
Well, you come in on the first floor and you know, you see some modern technology, you see their normal exhibits, and then off in this corner, they've constructed three rooms. One of them is a high school classroom, and you enter school as you would as a teenager into this math computing class. And there's a bunch of very nice vintage desks, orange chairs, and a bunch of Apple IIe computers. There's an overhead projector up front, which we all remember. Remember the teacher having trouble deciding which way was up or down?
With the transparency? Turning it the other way? Yes.
And that sets the scene. There's a linoleum floor that they put down, a drop ceiling. There's pencils stuck in the ceiling.
They don't do that anymore? Maybe that was an 80s thing. Yeah.
I think we do that at GeekWire.
John Hughes. Okay, good.
But that's... So the objective at Living Computers is that you can use any of these machines. So you take a seat at a desk and start messing around with BASIC. And the class will be led by...
BASIC was this early language,
yes.
Computer language.
Yeah, I think the 2E came out in like 83.
Yeah. And you didn't have Windows, so you were programming in this language.
So you're in class. There's some lockers in the classroom. If each locker that you open sort of reveals a different story about a different type of kid, stickers, pictures, the jackets that are hanging in there are all period. There's a backpack hanging on a chair. That Cure music that you played is actually on a mixtape inside a Sony Walkman, which we all remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you're sort of following the story of this fictional teenager named Alex and her typical day. She leaves school and she goes to work at what's called the Bit Zone, which is a video arcade right next door to the class. You walk in, dimly lit.
Those places were loud. I hope Alex is holding up okay.
And
it'd be a headache.
And I hope it will be loud when they get a bunch of visitors in there, because there's seven games, you know, some classics. Donkey Kong, Centipede, Asteroids, Tempest.
Joust? I'd forgotten about Joust.
Joust. I was never a Joust player. Uh-huh. I immediately went to Centipede and Donkey Kong when I walked in, because they have a free token machine. So this is like...
Sweet.
You could spend the day there, make back your price of admission, and play as many games as you want.
Is the idea that you just hang out and bask in nostalgia, or what's the museum going for? What's in it for them?
It's very much an interactive and an immersive experience. They enjoy folks taking part and putting their hands on the machines. Your memories are triggered by using these devices. All the video games are restored to working order and are in great shape. And they want to see how people mingle with all of this stuff. There's no introduction to the exhibit. There's no artifact labels on stuff. It just is there in the corner of the museum, and you become part of it.
So you were a Centipedes guy?
Yeah, and maybe not so much this week when I played. I did pretty well. I looked at the high score and thought, I'm gonna make a run at that. And about 7 minutes later, I was done.
Uh-huh. I was into Defender. They didn't have Defender.
Defender.
Huh? Mm.
And
shame.
Were you good at it?
Well, I was really good at the 7-Eleven. I was not so good at the mall, SeaTac Mall arcade. You know, they can tweak the game so it's easier or harder.
Yes.
And I think at the 7-Eleven, maybe because I could be buying snacks if I hung out long enough, you know, I could gather a crowd. Remember that? People would come around?
Yes, very much so. Mine was at the roller rink or at the bowling alley on Saturday mornings. You'd miss your turn. You'd be up for bowling on a five-man team, and your buddies would be yelling at you, get over here, and you had to give up your game to go back and throw a couple balls. But
harsh.
Yeah. Look at us reminiscing about the 80s.
The arcades were kind of a racket. I remember when they would take out the quarters and I would just, or the tokens, and think, yeah, wow, that's a mint. So at least you don't have to worry about that at the museum.
No, and I, you know, that's
that
why,
mattered when we were kids, by the way. You had to budget.
That's why I played games that I knew I could get a few screens out of, because I didn't want to just pop a quarter in to learn something new and all of a sudden, you know, I was out of that money. And the money went fast. I had a paper out that paid me a little bit, but not enough to just be hardcore. And that's what's cool about this exhibit, is that they had special tokens made called the Bit Zone, and you push a button and they pop right out. So I could foresee people down there for quite a while.
These kids today, you probably bought your son's Xbox, I assume? So he didn't have to budget, he didn't have to worry about his paper route budget.
No paper route. That's a good point. I should push him in that direction, because every video game that he gets is a lot more expensive than the 25 cents I was popping down. Even when I was a kid, I had a ColecoVision growing up. You remember those?
Yes.
I was not a
I think I had Coleco guy. Football.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, thanks.
My son plays Xbox now, and it's quite a juxtaposition between what he's experiencing in our basement rec room as opposed to what I maybe experienced in front of my sort of old TV. It's come a long way, as we know.
And this is what I'm getting at. What about that long way? Where did we come to? What do you like? I noticed in your article at GeekWire, this is Kurt Schlosser from GeekWire, I think you quoted one of the museum curator types as saying, you know, you used to have to physically put the cartridge in, and that made me laugh, because in the actual 80s, my parents would be saying, you know, you used to physically have to hit the ping pong ball over the net. So it's like everybody seems to look back and just remember whatever effort, whatever, even however small it was, we went to more effort back when we were young.
Yeah, totally. And you know, I think we're in this period now where we have a little bit of an appreciation for that analog stuff. That's why vinyl LPs have come back so strong. And, you know, some of these older games that are recreated even in apps or whatever that we play, they're touchstones. And that snap of the cartridge into the thing reminds you that there's a little bit of effort there, and you're going to be rewarded for pulling that off.
Even in 20 years, they're going to say, man, I remember when you had to physically swipe your phone to find the different, to go to the next app. You didn't. Now you just have to think it and it appears. Yeah. Back in 2018, we were putting effort into our smartphone use.
Well, you know, and I watched that series, Black Mirror on Netflix, and I always think that the technology just feels like we're just almost right there. And it could be as simple as close your eyes and play a video game, or there's a little chip behind your temple or something.
Yep.
My kid will get that.
Yeah, lucky kid. Well, what do you think of where video games have come? Like, you could say that video games now, you know, Centipede, I guess you were shooting the centipede, but it didn't feel like slaughter, like I think some of the first-person shooter games are. On the other hand, you have Minecraft where you build stuff. So what's your take on where we are today?
Yeah, I think, you know, the pew-pew-pew mode of video games that we grew up with is certainly long gone. Everything is so hyper-realistic now. You know, I think parents would be mindful to keep an eye on what their kids are playing, certainly with games like Grand Theft Auto, where there's language, there's sexuality, there's certainly a lot of violence, whether it's through guns or through the automobile as a violent tool. I think it's worth a conversation and separate that fantasy from reality, and hopefully, you know, that's a dialogue that's obviously going on in our country right now, but if parents are on point, then the kids should get it, at least at a certain age. And I play games with my son that range from FIFA soccer, which he kills me at, to this thing called Just Cause, where he's like a mercenary in Central America and he's got to rescue a bunch of people. I think he plays it because he gets to fly around with a jetpack and certainly blow stuff up, but I don't think he gets the violent political overtones that are maybe written into the story.
Right. Are kids having that communal experience? I know you can obviously play with people you can't see, but, you know, at the 7-Eleven, when I was on my game, it was kind of fun to be in a crowd of kids.
Yeah, I mean, on a Friday afternoon after a week of school, it certainly sounds communal in my basement when the Xbox is going and they're all yelling and screaming. And they're not out in public at an arcade doing that, but certainly those spaces are available in Seattle for kids to do that. And And I think they probably are. A lot of it is VR now.
Right. Final question for GeekWire's Kurt Schlosser. What letters would you put in when you had a top score? Do you remember?
KRS.
KRS, initials. You went straight with the initials.
Yeah.
You didn't use a numb to centipede.
No.
Thanks for the nostalgia.
Sometimes it was REM.
REM. There you go. I knew there was something lurking. GeekWire's Kurt Schlosser traveled back to time to high school in the mid-80s, and you can do that too at the Living Computers Museum Plus Labs. Their new exhibit is called Totally 80s Rewind. Kurt, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill.